This is the BBC Light Programme. We present Tony Hancock with Moira Lister, Bill Kerr, Sidney James and Kenneth Williams in...
Hancock's Half Hour.
A few days to go to Christmas, everybody is getting ready to enjoy this season of peace and goodwill to all men. Even Tony Hancock has broken into his piggy bank for his Christmas preparations.
Tap! Have you finished the decorations yet?
Shan't be long, just putting the chains up.
Tap, paper chains, not real ones. We're celebrating Christmas 1954, not 84. And where's the Christmas tree?
We haven't got one yet.
Well, what are you waiting for?
A fog. And you'd better cut a hole in the roof. I'm going to whip that one from Trafalgar Square.
Think of it. Christmas, no tree, no decorations.
Yes, I thought we might be able to afford something better this year.
Well, it's not my fault. It's that slate club I'm treasurer of. Someone ran off with all the money last week. The money that I kept in my own room.
Disgusting.
Yeah, £25.
24. Do you like me new suit?
You spent all that money on a suit. What about me?
Oh, I haven't forgotten you.
No?
No, you're Bill Kerr. I'd recognise that face anywhere. You're the bloke who...
All right, I just thought you might have got me something.
Have a look at this.
For me? Why, Tub, how beautiful. A piece of wallpaper.
It's a tie. What's the matter with you? Don't you like it?
Well, frankly...
Yes?
Well, honestly...
Yes?
Cross my heart?
Yes?
No. It's too loud.
You'll find them underneath.
What?
Earplugs. Now put the tie on.
All right. There.
Hmm. Now, what can you wear it with?
How about a long beard?
Ungrateful, that's what you are. After what I went through to get it.
What?
A plate glass window.
Anybody in?
Oh, me beloved Moira. Quick, hair oil.
Hair oil.
Aftershave lotion.
Aftershave lotion.
Clean shirt.
Clean shirt.
Waistcoat.
Waistcoat.
Spats.
Spats.
Jacket.
Jacket.
Come in. Trousers.
Trousers. Hello, Moira.
Look, boys, mistletoe.
Oh, my word, yes. Stirs the old blood up a bit, doesn't it?
Go on, Tub, get in, do your stuff.
Do you think she'll mind?
Nah, of course not.
Oh, all right, then.
Are you two enjoying yourselves?
Oh, sorry. I had my eyes shut.
Well, don't open them yet, Tony.
All right, I won't. I'm ready. Are you two enjoying yourselves?
Sorry, Tub, I had my eyes closed.
Good, it'll save me the job.
Well, come on, boys. Give me a hand with all those parcels outside.
Parcels?
Yes, parcels. I knew you two wouldn't have anything to eat this Christmas.
Nothing to eat? I beg your pardon. We've got our Christmas dinner already cooking. Spent 2 hours trussing up that lump of corned beef.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've already made arrangements for our Boxing Day dinner. Now, where is it? Puss, 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 puss. Here, kitty, kitty.
Funny how they know, innit?
Forget all that. I spoke to Father.
Oh, him.
Yes, him.
Oh, padlock purse.
He is not. I told him we'd be all alone at Christmas, so he sent us down a big hamper.
Not your mother.
No. And there's nothing wrong with my mother.
There must be. She doesn't like me. Every time she comes up here, it's the same. If she stuck her nose up any higher, the rain would get in.
I think you're both very ungrateful. Daddy has laid on a complete Christmas dinner. It's all in those parcels.
No, I'm sorry, Moira. I'm accepting nothing from your father. I thought I made that quite clear in the past. He and I have nothing in common. I still have me pride, and I'm certainly not going to lower myself by accepting charity from him.
Oh, what a pity. There's a lovely turkey here.
Knife.
Knife. Fork.
Fork.
Wait for it. This has got to last all over the holiday, and I've got some extra stuff for the party we're throwing.
Oh, good. I was getting a bit worried about that. It's hard to get merry on a glass of cold water and half a dozen grapes.
Well, come on then. Let's see what we've got. Let's get the stuff out of the parcels.
Ah, mixed nuts.
Now put them in the bowl.
Crystallized fruit.
Put them on the sideboard.
Cider ham.
Put it in the larder.
Christmas pudding.
Oh, I'll leave it where it is.
6 bottles of whiskey, 4 bottles of brandy, 5 bottles of gin, 3 bottles of champagne, 6 bottles of rum, 6 red wines, 6 white wines, and 4 crates of beer.
Well, that should see me all right. What about you?
Calm down. You're not having any alcohol this year.
Hey?
We're not having a repetition of what happened last Christmas.
And what do you mean by that?
I saw you. You stood on the Christmas cake, set light to your hair and said, look, everybody, I'm a candle.
Well, it got a laugh. You don't have to worry about me. I can take me drink.
Yes, and when everybody else wasn't looking, you took theirs too.
I didn't touch a drop, so help me.
You had six bottles and everybody helped.
Oh, who cares? The point is, we're going to have a wonderful time this Christmas after all. Oh, boy, I can't wait. Sitting in front of a roaring fire, a drink in my hand, enjoying the old chestnuts.
We're not having the radio show on again this year.
Yeah, but it'll be great all the same. This looks like being the first good Christmas I've spent since I left the folks in Australia.
I expect the same goes for them.
Postman!
Ah, more Christmas cards, I expect. I'll get them. Good morning, postman.
A morning, sir. Two for you today.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas, sir.
Oh, same to you.
Thank you, sir.
A pleasure.
I've been delivering your post all year now, sir.
Congratulations. Splendid record.
365 days, come rain or shine, through muck and slush. Never missed a day, sir.
No, you haven't, have you? Yes, well done.
Merry Christmas, sir.
Yes, and you.
I think I've done a good job, haven't I, sir?
Excellent.
No cause for complaint.
None at all. You're a good lad.
I've always been cheerful, haven't I, sir?
Yes, you have.
In spite of the low money we get.
Yes, you have indeed.
Yes. Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas.
The kids won't get many toys this year. Can't afford them, you know.
How hard luck.
Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas. Why are you holding your hand out like that? It's not raining, is it?
No, sir, but I was hoping a little drop of snow might sort of drop into my palm, so to speak, if you get my meaning, sir.
Bit of snow, eh?
Yes.
Well, there's a penny. The thaw's set in. Now get your foot out of my door.
Oh, you mean old so-and-so. Wait till I tell the boys I know somebody whose football balls aren't going to get there on time next year.
Yeah. I'll bet. Yeah. I hope you get your hand caught in the letterboxes.
Oh, your letters will be soaking next time it rains. I'm telling you.
Hey, Tub, what's the trouble?
Oh, nothing. The postman's getting a bit upstep. Upstop. Upstep. He's doing his nut, that's all.
Well, who are the letters from?
I haven't looked yet. Let's see. One's from a bloke called... Ohms.
Ohms? Let me have a look. That's on Her Majesty's service.
Ooh. What's it all about?
I don't know, but I think it's top secret.
How do you know?
Well, you know that little celluloid window in the envelope?
Yes.
The curtains are drawn.
Give it us here. Oh, no. No. No.
Tony, what's wrong?
It's me Z Reserve calling up papers. The War Office has called me to the colours.
So they finally got around to yellow. Ah, oh, poor old Tub called up. When do you got to go?
Tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow? You'll miss Christmas. Christmas in the army when we've got all this food here. There'll just be Moira and me here eating together, drinking together, dancing together. Together. This is the army. Mr. Hancock.
Oh, William.
Yeah?
I forgot to tell you. There's another letter here for Private Kerr.
What? You can't do this to me.
The army want me.
They must be short on pull-throughs.
This is terrible. Christmas of all times. What does the War Office actually say, Tony?
Let's see. Dear Tony, Her Majesty's government cordially requests the pleasure of your company at a little get-together at Aldershot Barracks this week. Dress optional, bring your own spear.
Tony, you can't go. It's Christmas.
But Moira, this is the army.
Well, I can't help that. I've made all the preparations. We've all been looking forward so much to this Christmas, and I'm not going to let them spoil it. You can't go. That's all there is to it.
But Moira, I can't just not turn up.
If you were half a man, you'd ring them up and tell them you can't come.
If he were half a man, they wouldn't want him anyway.
Go on, Tony. Ring them up. Tell them you'd very much like to go, but you've made other arrangements for this Christmas.
All right. But on Christmas Eve, don't be surprised if a Father Christmas comes down the chimney 6 feet tall, wearing a red hat and white gaiters.
Stop arguing and get on the phone.
Oh, all right. Hello? Aldershot Barracks? I'd like to speak to the manager. Hello? Monty? Tony here, how are you? You're worried? You still can't find it? Are you sure he sent it? Well, try the Albert Hall. Well, look, Monty, I'll tell you what I'm phoning about. We got your letter, and, well, it's very nice, very kind of you, but me and Bill can't make it this week. No. Yes, but, Monty, I know, but will you see it? Well, yes, of course, but I... Yes, I know that. Well, there's no need to take that attitude. Well, all right, then, if you put it that way, we'll come.
What did he say?
Something about blindfolds and Ernie in the morning against a wall. I don't know. I think we'd better go.
Oh, honestly, what a thing to happen to a guy.
Christmas in the Army.
Aldershot Barracks, the latest batch of Zed reservists, including Privates Hancock and Kerr, has just arrived, and they are receiving their first taste of Army discipline from the kindly, benevolent, understanding Sergeant James.
All right, let's have you get filling. You're in the Army now, and let's get one thing straight. You make trouble for me, and I'll make trouble for you. On the other hand, you be nice to me, and a fat lot of good it'll do you. I don't suppose you wanted to come into the Army on Christmas, did you? Well, neither did I. I've got my Zed papers same as you lot. So, seeing as I can't have a good time over Christmas this year, I'm going to make ruddy sure you lot don't either.
Here, Bill, I didn't think old Sid James would get called up again. I thought they disbanded his regiment.
Well, they had to. He'd flocked all the equipment.
Silence in the ranks! Now then, let's have your names. See how many members of Burke's peerage we've got here. We'll start with you at the end. Yeah, you, the one with a face like half a pound of prime cheddar.
Fred Smith, Bert Brown, Charlie Green.
Anthony Aloysius, St. John Hancock II.
I said your name, not your medical history. So, it's you, is it, Hancock? Oh, and Billy Boy, eh?
Yeah, hiya, Sid.
Sarge, just because you know me, you needn't think you're going to get any privileges. I'm going to work you two like horses.
You can't do that. I know my rights. I'm a human being.
Oh, no, you're not. You're a soldier.
Well, of all the... I wish I hadn't come.
Now, the first thing for you to do is a medical examination. Find out whether you're still alive. Right, get in the free ranks, cover off. Squad, hat in, charm! By the right, turn! By left, quick,
sergeant!
Oh, what do you want?
Can I walk in front with you?
Get back in line! By the left, quick, march! Hey. Oh, blimey! All except Hancock, change, step! Squad, halt! Here you are, sir. This lot just come in this morning.
All right you are, Sergeant. I'll take them one at a time for vaccination. I'll take the fat one first.
All right, Hancock, fall out. I said out, not down.
I just cut the size of that needle.
Now, don't you worry, Private. This won't hurt you. Now, where's that book? Let's see now. Take the hypodermic in the right hand. Pull the plunger, place against the skin and pull.
Yeah!
Oh, stop messing about. I haven't touched you yet.
Just practicing.
Now, just get the needle ready.
Here, hold on. It looks a bit blunt to me.
Yes, it's the dartboard that does that. Now, steady.
Go easy. Hey, out!
Hey, Doc, you poked the needle in too far.
Ooh, what makes you think that?
The scars come up and the bloke behind him.
All right, you men. Next call, the quartermaster's stores. Get your uniforms. Right and left. Quick march. Right, you've got your uniforms, all except your boots. What size do you take, Kurt?
8.
Here's a 16, cut in half. Next.
Me, Sarge.
Oh, blimey, Hancock. Look at the size of your feet. I've never seen such big plates. What were you before you joined the army?
I used to stamp out forest fires.
Oh, yes, very funny.
Yes, it wasn't bad, was it? I'm quite a card, you know.
Shut up! Right, you've finished for the day. Just one thing. Anybody going sick tomorrow morning?
Yes, me, I am.
Oh, and what's wrong with you?
Trouble with me nose. Catarrh, you know, can't breathe.
Well, you're a lucky man, because we've got fish for supper. Dismiss!
Wow, what a way to spend Christmas. I wonder what Moira's doing, Tup.
Probably sitting up there in my little empty flat, surrounded by all those bottles of drink, crying her eyes out.
Why?
I brought the corkscrew with me.
Well, there's no point in walking around here all night. Let's go over and see what's doing in the mess.
Where is the mess?
It's in here. Come on. My mistake, that's the officer's mess.
Where's our one, then?
Look, this is it. Come on.
Ah, good evening, monsieur.
Good evening, Pierre. Usual table under the palms.
Certainly, monsieur.
Say, this is quite a change from the old days, isn't it?
Yes. Same old waitresses, though. Look, here comes Aldershot Annie.
Hello, boys.
Hello, Annie. Thought you got demobbed in 1945.
No, dearie, I'm still with it. The army's the only place for a girl like me.
But you're the only girl here.
I'm not complaining now. What do you want? We haven't got it. No, I'm not coming out with you tonight, and sardines are off.
Well, my friend and I would rather care for a little hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, followed by crepe Suzette and pané de foie gras.
Just a hint of chicken a la king with pomme de terre au crème.
Followed by gâteau napolitain cooked in a dash of chartreuse 37.
And smothered in crème caramel.
Ada, beans on toast twice.
No, we only got in yesterday, and do you know what? Oh, can I have another cup of varnish, please? As I was saying...
Now, come on, boys, hurry up and finish your food. We're closing in a minute.
All right, you two men on your feet. Now, I suppose, like the rest of the 4,000 Herberts here, you two are looking forward to your Christmas dinner tomorrow.
Very much.
Good. You can get down to the cookhouse and cook it.
Us? Cook for 4,000 soldiers?
We don't know anything about cooking.
Oh, you poor lads. When they find out... Now, get down to the cookhouse. At the double!
And so Privates Hancock and Kerr began their special Christmas duties, preparing a delicious Christmas dinner for 4,000 starving soldiers. Nearer and nearer crept the hour at which serving was to commence. Then, at 12 o'clock, the duty officer walked in, picked up a spoon, dipped it into the gravy, raised it to his lips, and...
All right, Bill, serve it.
Okay, wait till I get in the armoured car.
Armoured car? How can you serve gravy in an armoured car?
Well, I'll pump it through the gun barrel. I'm not touching that stuff with my hand.
There's nothing wrong with it. A little thick, possibly, but it's good gravy. Go on, cut yourself a slice. Here, we'd better get the hors d'oeuvres ready. How long have those 3.5-minute eggs been on?
4.5 hours.
Never mind, give them another 10 minutes and we'll flog them to Joe Davis.
Pass me my gas mask.
Why?
No, I'm just going to open the oven. Come in.
Excuse me, do you mind if I look around?
No, no, you carry on, Mush.
No, thank you. Oh, no.
Who was that?
Philip Harbin. Oh, it's no good, Bill. Everything's going wrong. Just look at this toad in the hole.
What's wrong with it?
All hole and no toad. What are the men going to say? Hard day out on the assault course, starving, hungry, and when they get back, what have we got to offer them? 4,000 platefuls of ole. One hiccup and they're empty. We must get Alder Shot Annie to help us.
Well, there she is, over there, rolling out the pastry we made.
Is this pastry flat enough now, boys? The Pioneer Corps want their steamroller back.
Let's have a look at it. No, that's no good. He doesn't got a fancy edge. The men won't eat a pie crust without a fancy edge.
What shall I do?
Well, nip down to the armoured corps and get them to run round the edge with a centurion tank.
Oh, no, I've got an order here. 100 beans on toast.
Right. 100 plates.
100 plates.
100 knives and forks.
100 knives and forks.
100 bits of toast.
100 bits of toast.
Haven't you forgotten something?
Oh, yes. One bean and a book of raffle tickets. Right. Grab up. Well, that's dinner finished. How much food have the men left, Annie? Oh,
let's see. 283 buckets of soup, 8,400 weight of potatoes, 98 binfuls of turkey, 342 Christmas puddings, and 92 static water tanks full of custards.
Well, marvellous.
Why?
It's more than we started with.
Cooking. I didn't join up for this. I want to see some action. I want to be out there with our boys fighting for dear life.
Any more dinners like that and he will be.
All right, you men, at ease. Now then, that dinner wasn't very successful, was it?
We did our best. 4,000's a lot to cater for.
I've got good news. You'll only have 2,000 for tea.
Well, where's the rest?
In hospital. I've had a lot of complaints about the dinner, so I've come round to investigate. I want to inspect the food. Where's the next meal?
Over there on the table.
Oh, yes. What's this stuff in tomato sauce? Looks like unravelled balaclava helmets cut up into 1-foot lengths. I suppose it's spaghetti.
No, sir.
What is it, then?
It's unravelled balaclava helmets cut up into 1-foot lengths.
Disgusting.
Why?
It's my helmet.
Oh, don't be too hard on the boys, Sergeant. Why, they're two of the finest cooks who ever blancoed a burnt pie crust.
Well, I don't know about that. I've had some serious complaints.
What about?
Well, the cheese, for one thing. The men say you keep it too long.
Nonsense. Our cheese is lovely and fresh. I'm just going to have a bit for me tea. Go on, Bill, cut me a lump.
I can't. It won't keep still.
But don't just stand there. Wrestle with it.
This is disgraceful. I've never seen such terrible food in my life. I've got a good mind to put you two on a charge.
Oh, don't do that, Sergeant. They're not as bad as you think. They're both good cooks. I know they are. Why, some of their Cornish pasties contain some of the finest meat Gordon Richards ever threw a saddle over. Give them another chance, sir. Let them cook supper tonight. They can do it. I know they can.
And so Privates Hancock and Kerr were given another chance. They were allowed to cook the Christmas supper. Everything they had at their disposal was put into the preparing of this meal. Nothing was spared, cost was ignored, the meal was served, and then the men mutinied.
Quick, Tuff! They're after our blood! Barricade the door! Shut the windows! Oh, we're in a real mess now, and it's all your fault, you and your rhubarb tart. I should have suspected it when I saw you painting the celery.
Any sign of them?
No.
Shove a tin helmet up on a stick. Good. Now stick another one up.
Why?
We can corner the market on colanders.
Look, they've blown a hole in the wall.
Quick, nail that bit of pastry over it.
All right. Tony, I think we may have a problem.
Why, is the pastry broken?
No, the nails have bent.
Tony, we're finished. Look, they've started using atom bombs. One's just burst on top of your head.
That's his chef's hat.
Look, here they come again. And we've run out of ammunition. What shall we do?
All right, don't worry. You pour boiling custard over them while I bash them to death with a mince tarts.
That's no good. Drop a sponge cake on top of them.
Good idea. Help me to lift it up.
That's it. To you. No, over your end of it. Right, now, over the top with it. Boom.
Wasn't it?
Where's Hancock? Why hasn't he given us an hand?
Well, he's talking through the keyhole over there to one of the enemy.
Of course, this isn't my fault, you know. I mean, I admit I'm not a cook. Well, you tasted it, didn't you?
Yeah, it was horrible.
I know, I had a butter chocolate myself. Now, you see, I was in the army, but not as a cook. I was in the artillery.
Oh, so was I.
But of course you were. I recognised your eye through the keyhole.
Yeah, bloodshot.
That's it, that's the one. Anyway, I was with the heavy stuff. Them big berthers, you know.
On the railway lines?
Yes, well, anyway. We were up the front at the time, firing at the enemy. I think it was the enemy. Yes, that's right. Well, we whipped a shell in and it wouldn't go off. Nothing happened. So the captain, you remember him, little fellow with a monocle in each eye.
Oh, Wilson.
That's him, big head. Whatever became of him?
Selling matches, I think.
Yes, I think you're right. So anyway, he comes up to me and he says, "Oi, the gun's blocked. Somebody's got to crawl down the barrel and clean it out." And he looks straight at me, because we never got on, you know. Well, I told him straight I wasn't crawling down any gun barrel. Well, would you? Of course you wouldn't. I mean, I don't mind helping out, doing me bit, but there's a limit. Crawl down a gun barrel? One Charlie gets a bit happy with the trigger and poof, where are you? Well, he had no right to expect me to do it. I point blank refused. Well, that got up his nose. His moustache bristled. You could have cleaned your teeth with it. "That's an order," he said. "I'm not doing it," I said. So anyway, he pulled out his gun and talked me into it. And I was halfway down the barrel, because I wasn't as well built as I am now.
No, I remember you, skinny bloke.
Yes, that's right, you knew me. So he says, "Can you see what's blocking it up?" So I said, "Yes." He said, "What?" I said, "I am." Well, that made him laugh. In spite of himself, he had to laugh. His whole attitude towards me changed. From that moment, he seemed to like me. He walked over to the gun, his whole body shaking with good-natured laughter. A lovely smile came over his face, just like I'm smiling at you now, if only you could see me. And with a chuckle in his voice, he said, "Are you still down the barrel?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And you know what he said then?
What?
"Fire!"
And come back to your post. They're attacking again.
We'll never stop them. There's too many of them. We're done for.
I tell you what we'll do. We'll wait till it's dark, creep out of the barracks and grab the next train home. I'm finished with the army after this. So there it is, Moira. We ducked out while they weren't looking and hot-footed it home.
Oh, we're lucky to still be alive. 4,000 desperate men. I never want to face anything like that again.
Well, I'm glad you're back, boys. We can at least be together for the rest of Christmas. And I've got a lovely surprise for you.
Ooh, what?
Mother and father are coming down to spend Boxing Day with us.
Two singles on the fast train to Aldershot, please.
This has been Hancock's Half Hour, featuring Kevin McNally as the lad himself, with Kevin Eldon, Robin Sebastian, Simon Greenall, and Margaret Caburn-Smith. Incidental music was composed by Wally Start and recorded by the BBC Concert Orchestra, conducted by Levin Parikian. The script was written by Ray Galton and Alan Simpson, and the programme which was recorded was produced by Neil Pearson and Paul Sheehan. It was a BBC Studios production.